Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
For a minute there, I was like, what's wrong? I don't have a voice.
Yeah, so could I have picked any less Once Upon a Timey intro music?
It's fun to bob your head along to it.
Well,
you can rock out to it a little bit.
It is not Once Upon a Timey for a reason, because sometimes they don't like that kind of thing.
Well, yeah.
Those ABC lawyer people.
Yeah.
Hey, ABC lawyer people. How you doing? So this is, in fact, the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast further discussions about the episode called Manhattan. This is Saturday, February 23rd, 2013. And we're going to read some email, discuss an email, mention a couple of more emails. There's some voicemails we're going to play. And you had some cool info about some research, you, Colleen.
Yes.
And you were going to share. And then also, it's kind of like the way we used to do it is I would watch an episode and there'd be certain things that would kind of, I would react to, and I go, ah, that's something to talk about. And then we've kind of touched on it. And then if you and I have more than a couple of things to say about it, I go, okay, well, that's good. Right. Then that's what we'll do.
Good talking points.
Yes. So, let's see. We were going to do the voicemails first, or?
Either or.
Okay. So, that's what we will do.
Either that or the email. Either one. I don't care.
Okay. Let's do the voicemails
first. It's all good
either first. Way. Yeah. Okay. Here is the first. Oh, let's see. That one's 3 seconds. I don't think it worked. Here is the other first voicemail. Here we go.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is Brad from Ohio calling back. And I got to humble myself here, eat a little crow. I'm the one that called in and said that Charming would be Jack. At least I was hoping that he would be. But I got to give you guys both credit. I mean, Colleen nailed it, saying that he would be James. I mean, he'd be David, and he was. He was, in fact, David, and that goes back to David being the shepherd in the Bible. And, man, I just didn't see that coming. I mean, I was just thinking, how awesome would it be if he was Jack the Shepherd with in the same episode with Jorge Garcia? I mean, that would have been awesome, but it didn't happen. Jeff, you also nailed it, saying that maybe they would flip this whole thing on its head and make Jack be a woman, and that was the case, too. So, I mean, good job on both of those. I mean, you guys got it right. But there's more predictions. Hopefully I can get another one. But talking about Mr. Gold's true love and the kiss, why didn't it work? In An Apple as Red as Blood, we see that Snow had erased her memory of Charming because of the potion from Rumpelstiltskin. And it wasn't until he jumped in front of that arrow that he had told her, or she said to him, nobody's ever cared for me that much before. And he said, not that you remember. At that time, the kiss was mutual, and it did work, as the first time it didn't, but after this, after she saw his act of jumping in front of the aerial, then it did work. We see that the exception is the sleeping curse in Aurora, Henry Snow, and Charming. It's not that they don't want to kiss them, it's just that they can't. Now, we see that it did work in Skin Deep with Rumpelstiltskin and Belle. He was referring back to his old self. So hopefully True Love's Kiss will still work. I'm still hoping for that. In this last episode, Tiny, we did see that Mr. Gold here is just not in control. And we haven't seen this since the county line where he started smashing everything in the shop because he realized that when you go across it, you forget your memory. Now, we know that he has always been a coward. He has said this to Belle. They, with the portal, as he was reaching out for his hand, he let his son go. His son called him a coward. And Skin Deep, as they were kissing, Belle told him that he was a coward because he just had to let her go. He has said that magic, it is his crutch. And we see him on that plane, just all the anxiety that he has, because he's reverting back to what he was before he was the Dark One. And
that's a great point. I just want to pause right there. He was
That was a great point. There were a ton of great points.
And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to catch up and talk about
okay,
them.
Okay, good.
And there have been a lot of kisses.
Right, right.
But not true love kisses.
True love kisses happened from the sleeping curse. We saw that. And right. That was, and like he said, and I totally agree with him, it wasn't because they didn't want to, it's because they couldn't.
Yeah.
They weren't conscious. But with Belle and Rumpel, I did wonder, why didn't it work? And then I thought, well, wait a minute, because she doesn't remember who she is. And then, like he pointed out, it was very similar to when Snow forgot Charming.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point in time, if Rumpel kisses her again, if she's willing to see that he's made a sacrifice for her, perhaps she will, you know, remember who he is and remember who she is. Maybe that's the whole point. Problem is, my sad thought is, well, then what about Sleepy? I mean, Sneezy.
Right.
What about him?
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out.
And Brad, you're absolutely right, is that Rumpelstiltskin is basically reverting back through all these events to this unprotected self by the Dark One's power.
Right.
Well, and he's just him.
Well, I think he was specifically referring to the kiss in Skin Deep when she started to kiss him. And right. He goes, wait, well, what's happening? And she's like, it's working. And that's when he stopped it.
Right. But also, what Brad was kind of lining out as a coward.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And that now he has lost magic. Hmm. And so he's just a man with a limp as he was before.
Right. The Zoso. In Tiny, he hadn't lost his magic, though. And he's referring to Tiny.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
But, yeah. When he went through the metal detector. And,
right. That part, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm following you now.
So that's what he was saying is
gotcha.
He's now, it's basically taken all that armor, if you will, the magical armor, let's say.
His protection.
Off of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just him.
Yeah.
He can't even run. I mean, it's interesting to see.
No, I agree.
Yeah. So we continue.
Wondering, has he learned anything from being in Storybook? Now, Ruby said Regina gave them a second chance, and I'm hoping that Rumpelstiltskin is able to take that second chance. Belle believes in him. They believe in him. He just needs to believe in himself, and I really want to see that. Well, those are my thoughts. I just want to tell you guys to keep up with the great podcast. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Brad, so much.
Good points. Really, really good points. And even if he didn't, even if he wanted, and I agree with that, I think that would have been really cool to have found that, you know, well, what if Charming is Jack somehow? That, you know, I remember his voicemail about that. And having Jack Shepard in the same episode with Jorge Garcia, that would have been cool too.
Yep.
But I do like the fact that it was, I thought it was going to be the twin, but anyway.
Well, they love to take a twist here and there.
They do.
What you expect is not what you get.
Right, right.
But
Charming's real name, I think what he was referring to what I got right was the fact that Charming's real name was David.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I assumed.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. And you're right. You know, we'll talk more about this later, but it's like Rumpelstiltskin chose. He always said he wanted to find his son. He wanted to find his son. He wanted to find his son. And yet, all these other things kept his attention. But when Belle's memory was erased, that was the last straw. Mm-hmm. And he said, forget it. I'm out of here. Now I'm really going to do what I meant to do.
Right.
Because at first I'm going to destroy Regina with the Wraith and just all these other things.
Right.
I'm going to get Hook and I'm going to defend Belle against Hook and all that. And now it's like, I mean, he threatened everybody
he has
in
nothing,
Mary Margaret's
apartment.
Well,
he has
apartment.
Nothing left. He
right.
has nothing mm-hmm. left. He has to go get Bay. And I think once he does that, I think he was honestly thinking that, you know, with Bay by his side, he wouldn't need to worry about anything else. Everything would be hunky-dory.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a bit, too. There's the next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is Wayne Henderson from MediaVoiceOvers.com. Coming in for the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. I just finished watching Manhattan, I believe it was called. And wow, what an intense episode of Once Upon a Time. They gave us answers, lots of answers, and did them so insanely tense the entire time. And Mr. Gold, the bombshell at the end of the episode, he better not follow through with that. That will not make, well, anybody very happy at all. But the family's reunited. What a dysfunctional one they've got. And that was a bit of a stunner. Our friend there in the hospital getting video footage of Regina's magic. That's not going to be good. I wanted to share those spots. I'm stunned. Excellent episode. The best episode so far this season. We'll be talking to you guys soon. I'm going to get back to listening to what you guys are saying about it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Wayne, so much for the voicemail. And, yeah, there were some pretty, pretty incredible things. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he did capture magic on a video phone.
Right.
That was wild. So,
which will be interesting to me. So it brings up actually a really good point is, how did Regina not know he was behind her filming her? She's
true.
Usually pretty aware of that stuff.
True.
So it's kind of interesting why she didn't realize that.
Yeah.
The other thing I noticed, and this is kind of a little sidestep, but I want to make sure it's brought up because I just watched the episode again this morning. And so what I noticed is Regina is pretty much given up on that road to redemption.
Yeah.
She's going back to her old ways.
Yep.
So, and that's under her mother's tutelage.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that pans itself out.
Well, I know there's many people that have been waiting for that.
I know.
And they have got their wish, it looks
mm-hmm.
like.
Yeah, because she's going back to being a baddie.
But I think there'll be a little bit of good, even with the bad. This is what I predict. It could be when Regina brought the lasagna to the get-together at Granny's.
Mm-hmm.
She was there, but she still had the kind of snarky responses to Grumpy.
Well, sure.
And I think in a way that that's going to be how she is. She's still going to be Regina, you know, the evil queen in Fairy Tale
right.
Land, but she'll learn how to kind of adapt. I don't think she'll ever be June Cleaver.
No, I don't think
she'll ever be that.
No.
But
there's a difference, I think, between trying to redeem herself
right.
and be good and try to do what she thinks Henry wants her to be, you know, and give up the evil plots to
right.
kill
yeah.
Snow and Charming.
Mm-hmm.
But her mother's bringing that right back out in her.
True.
So it's like, because it hadn't had enough time, it's kind of like a scab. You know, you pick off a scab, mm-hmm, if you pick it off too early, it's
yeah.
going to bleed again.
Right.
And the problem is that it's, well, I'm sorry, but it's the first thing that popped in my head
yeah.
is that, you know, it's one of those things where yeah. it happened too soon. Okay. If you want to make it less gross, a cake. If you bake a cake and you pull it out of the oven too
true.
Soon,
right.
it looks like on the surface it's been cooked all the way through, but unless you poke a mm-hmm. toothpick through it and find out if it's cooked on the inside, you can have an unfinished cake.
That's
so,
a yummy example.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. So this is, we see that she was trying really hard to be good, then we see that she was left behind for the dinner.
Sure.
Which began the turn backwards.
It was a little tiny irritant, a little tiny speck in her shoe.
That gold didn't help matters.
No,
with his little
no, because he kind of pointed out the fact, oh, you have that little speck in your shoe.
But she
may not have felt it as much if he hadn't pointed it out. So the fact that, you know, somebody says, don't think about an elephant. What are you thinking about? Elephants. Oh. So I think that's the case. And like I said, the cake isn't done yet.
Right.
Somebody's trying to pull it out and decorate it. And it's like, whoa, wait. It's not even finished cooking yet.
I think she'll hit a point on the evil swing over that she will go too far. She'll hurt Henry or someone.
Right.
And she'll realize that she can't go back to the way she was because you're vulnerable.
Right.
You're too nice. People take advantage of you. I think she'll figure out a medium point where she can still be her,
right,
but be a nicer her in a way.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. My thought.
There's a good chance she could be a snarky, nice person. But again, she's going to have to go back in the oven to finish baking.
Okay. Let's come out of the oven for a second. And we'll play the next voicemail. Here it is.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is Dave from Michigan. I'm calling for a couple of reasons. But mainly because I listened to the podcast from Saturday. And I heard about why the changes are being made and stuff. And I wanted to let you guys know that I listen to probably 20 to 30 podcasts every week about all my favorite TV shows and about personal things and about celebrities and stuff like that. And I happen to think that you guys are one of the most personable, enjoyable teams to listen to on a podcast because you're real. And I think that's awesome. And I hope that the trolls that post nasty things on the web or on iTunes or wherever, don't let them get to you because they are just angry people who have nothing better to do than sit on the internet and snipe at people. So I wanted to let you guys know that before I listen to this week's podcast and watch Once Upon a Time this week, I wanted to have that fresh in my mind when I called and contacted you. I'll probably call back after I watch it and let you guys know what I thought, but I wanted to make sure you guys knew that most of us feel that way about you guys, and we appreciate everything you do. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
We really appreciate that.
We do.
And there were a lot of factors. And
right. I mean, that was just one piece of it. There were more things. And you know, look, we want to stay a good podcast that people want to listen to. And yeah, we recognize there's a balance between too much personal and just the right amount. And I think we're trying to do just the right amount. We're really shifting towards that. I think too that we're also being realistic and saying, look, that was a lot of stuff to do considering the busy lives we have. And it's not an excuse and we're not looking for sympathy. It's just, frankly, that's just the reality of it for right now. That's just where we are right now.
I think that we've hit a good balance for us.
Right.
We, you know, you that are listening don't know what's going on in our personal lives, in our home and all that.
Right.
But we've really made some good changes, and I feel better about it.
Mm-hmm.
I
do too.
Like we've, So.
And again, part of that is, you know, with our busy lives, with, you know, things that were going on, there's just so many factors. And the fact that, you know, we weren't having fun anymore. It was a chore.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking forward to the shows anymore because it was kind of like, all right. Now I kind of look forward to being able to record and doing a little more research and digging deep now. That's fantastic. I had more fun today doing that than I've had in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the last couple of episodes, I've had some theories that I've just kind of stumbled upon just from being able to not think about anything else that's going on in any other, you know, realm of my life, just thinking about what's going on with the show.
Yeah.
So I've enjoyed the show a lot more too. That's another factor. I have enjoyed the show more. I am looking forward to the show coming back.
Well, and one more time is we appreciate Dave. I have had a number of really nice emails, exchanges on Facebook. that have been very kind.
Yes.
Have gave some great insight and great input and great things to remember. Right. They've really been fantastic. So let's see. I just want to thank Raul, Marilyn, Lori, and Nancy.
Okay.
For their exchanges.
Nice.
It's been really cool. And Dave left voicemail. And, you know, we really appreciate that. And, yeah. You know, I just think we had to kind of make some tweaks. It's kind of like a car. Mm-hmm. This is going to be the example show.
Metaphor show.
It's kind of like a car when the car is not running right.
Right.
You have to say, well, we have to keep going. It's like not kind of the way it is now. We need to make some adjustments. And when you make adjustments, sometimes you have to put it in the shop and all that. And when it comes out of the shop, it runs better.
Right.
Say, well, but this is not the same and this is that. No, but it's running better. Mm-hmm. See, that's the key. So anyway, thanks so much.
Yes.
Very, very, very appreciative of that.
Yep.
Here is the next voicemail.
Hello, dearies. Hi, guys. This is Brad from Ohio again. And
love it, Brad. Mm-hmm. Love it. Thank you. Okay, here we go.
I wanted to say, Jeff, I heard your podcast last week and about how you said your relationship with your wife was far more important than any podcast. I just wanted to say that I really admire and respect that. And I wanted to tell you guys that I think Colleen does a great job. And I wouldn't worry about any negative feedback or what people say because the show is for fun. I mean, the podcast is for fun. And, you know, telling fairy tale stories and bringing them back and so we can enjoy them as adults, I mean, that's what it's all about. People just need to relax and not take it so seriously. Now, I listen to a lot of the Once Upon a Time podcast because I am a driver, so I download them and listen to them throughout the week. And I got to say, my favorite podcast out of all of them is yours. It's well thought out. It's entertaining. You got great theories. And I really look forward to it every week. So I just wanted to call you guys to give you some encouragement, tell you to keep going, and that I love it. I also wanted to talk about a little theory here that I have about Manhattan. Back to what Bay said, that there are no coincidences and that everything happens by design, that there are forces greater than us to conspire to make things happen. I believe he was right, that there are no crazy coincidences. And if we think about how did Bay and Emma get together, I don't believe that it was Rumpelstiltskin. I mean, the Savior who was going to break the curse falls in love with the son of the man who created the curse, and then they have a son who ultimately leads Emma back to Storybook. I mean, that's just crazy coincidence. So I believe that there is something greater here that's conspiring to bring these things together. And there's questions that we don't know, like who told August who Bay was. We know it wasn't Mr. Gold because he didn't even know who August was when he saw him in Storybrook. He was pretending to be Bay. Who wrote the book? We don't know that. Who or what made the new curse that makes you lose your memories as you leave Storybrook? Now, let's think, and, you know, it's crazy, but what if Rumpelstiltskin has been used this whole time? And it all started with meeting the seer. You know, he broke his foot, then he started the curse, and he had to go back and get his son. I mean, I don't know who or what it could be. I mean, could it be the Blue Fairy? I mean, she did push him in the direction of the curse when he brought up the different ways to find his son. And now that he found his son, what's going to be next? We heard that the seer said the boy will be your undoing. Has all this happened for Rumpelstiltskin? Was he being used this whole time just so he can be undone? I don't know, but I can't wait to see what happens next. I'm hooked like the captain. I can't wait for the next episode, and I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts. All right, take care, guys.
Thanks again, Brad.
Wow. That's some great stuff. He's got some great points in there, and those are questions we talked about a number of those. You know, we really don't know, you know, who's running the show.
Right.
Because one of the things we did point out earlier, you know, you and I were talking about was, so the seer had the power of seeing the future. Who gave her that power?
Mm-hmm.
Was she born with it?
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't seem like there's too many folks that are born with powers. Do you know what I mean? They inherit them from somewhere else. And the fact that Rumpel could take it from her kind of hints to me that she was given that power. So who gave it to her?
Mm-hmm. you were mentioning that there was a myth, a Greek myth, wasn't it, where somebody's eyes were plucked out and put into the hands or something, wasn't it?
I thought I'd read that, but I haven't done research on that, so I can't really speak to that, okay, truthfully. But I do, you know, like I said, I do wonder about those things.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know for sure who created the curse that, or how the curse happened around, you know, the, where if you cross the town line, you lose your memory. I speculate that that was Korra's, you know, boundary protective curse.
Yeah.
When right. when the big curse was enacted.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we don't know for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a bunch of questions. We don't know a lot of this. And I do think there's a bigger, you know, entity, power, whatever you want to call it, somebody else pulling the strings. Because as powerful and as awesome as Rumpel is,
yeah,
he's not the originator of all of it. He's just a pawn like everybody else. He just got a little more juice than everybody.
Well, remember that when Korra put her staff in the ground,
yes,
that it created a
barrier.
Half sphere.
Well, a dome, yeah.
That mm-hmm. went around. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's just a visual of a barrier.
Correct.
You know, if anybody, and she mentioned barrier spells a number of times.
Sure, sure.
So.
But again, that was in fairy tale world. We right. don't know if that translated itself into Storybrooke. Do you see what I'm saying?
And
we don't know.
Well, okay. The one thing I will say, there were certain places where I felt it was the same place.
Right.
For instance, outside of Queen Regina's palace, there was her tree.
Right.
When it was planted. You know, the first time we saw it was a little kind of seedling inside of the right. house. But when it was planted,
yeah,
and the genie was there, mm-hmm. it was interesting that if you think about it, her office,
mm-hmm.
which in fact was her palace, a
right.
point her, of power, her, outside yeah. the window,
her was throne,
her, yeah, mm-hmm. was her tree.
Right.
And so, you know, it's either one of two things. It's either on top, the fairy tale is on top, and then underneath or down below is the real world. Or it's one on top of the same, and it's the same thing. So, I mean, I kind of thought that for a long time.
We've talked about the fact that it looks like August. You know, when August showed Emma his leg and she didn't see it, it's because she didn't believe it and want to see it.
Right.
Therefore, she couldn't. And so, if that's the case, then maybe fairy tale world is right there. And but again, then where did Hook and Korra come from?
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's just so mm-hmm. many questions we don't have the answers to. But
yeah.
I think we'll see that, you know, in time.
Yep.
But excellent, excellent points. Brad's very articulate and very, very well said. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. So I wanted to talk about a couple of points. I have some audio clips I'm going to play, and then we'll talk about that. And then Colleen has some information
mm-hmm.
that we'll save to the end.
Okay.
You got to listen to the end.
Oh.
So.
Tease.
Yes. So here we go. Here is the first clip.
I don't understand. What are you doing here?
What am I doing here?
Yeah.
I'm not answering anything until you tell me the truth. Are you Gold's son?
What are you talking about? Who's Gold?
You played me. You're from there. You played me. And he played me.
Slow down. What are you talking about? Who's Gold?
Your father. Rumpelstiltskin.
He's here.
Why else would I be in New York?
You brought him to me. Why would you do that?
I am the only one allowed to be angry here. Did you know who I was, where I was from the whole time? Was this just some sort of sick, twisted plan? Did you even care about me at all?
Emma,
I want to know. I want the truth. Okay, all of it.
Fine. We got to get off the street. We can't do it here. We're out in the open. I spent a lifetime running for that man. I'm not going to let him catch me. There's a bar down the street. We can talk there.
I am not drinking with you. Whatever you're going to tell me now.
No, bar's better. Don't worry. You can keep yelling at me when we get there.
You left me. let me go to prison because Pinocchio told you to? I loved you.
I was trying to help you.
By letting me go to jail.
By getting you home.
Are you telling me that us meeting was a coincidence? Because how the hell did that happen if it wasn't in your plan or your father's?
Think about it. He wanted you to break the curse. Us meeting, that could have stopped it. Maybe it was fate.
You believe in that?
You know, there's not a ton about my father that I remember that doesn't suck. But he used to tell me that there are no coincidences. Everything that happens, happens by design. And there's nothing we can do about it. Forces greater than us conspire to make it happen. Fate, destiny, whatever you want to call it. The point is, maybe we met for a reason. Maybe something good came from us being together.
All right, I will. I'll stop it there. So let's kind of work through some of the things really that jumped out when I was thinking about this again. Mm-hmm. So Emma goes with Gold to fulfill this deal. She is sent to go find Bay. Mm-hmm. We all kind of figured it was Neil, mm-hmm. but her character did not.
Right.
And so the last person on the planet
right.
that she would want to even see again is Neil.
Right.
If you go back through all the different mentions of him, and we'll kind of see some more in another clip we'll play, is she covered him up. She didn't want to think about him. She lied about him. She said he was dead.
Right.
And she ran into him. And it's kind of, hasn't there been people in our lives, in everybody's life, that they said, I hope I never, ever see them again.
Yep.
For whatever reason. You know, maybe an ex, whatever, mm-hmm. parent, something. And then you're faced with them. You know, you probably played in your mind exactly what you're going to say or not say. Then you're mm-hmm. faced with them.
Right.
That's a, you know, there's two things going on in their exchange. The one thing is her heart was broke. The second thing is this whole idea of fate and destiny and the whole fairy tale, her piece in this puzzle. So it's a pretty messy thing. I mean, initially she says, you're from there. You played me. Mm-hmm. You know, you used me
right.
to do this. And so, you know, it's almost like there was two conversations going on almost at the same time. So it's a pretty interesting exchange.
Well, she admitted, I loved you.
Right. Now, and that was hidden. If you,
it was kind of downplayed.
Yeah. And that's what I felt was really, that was the core, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes when you have an argument with somebody,
mm-hmm.
you get the shrapnel, the emotion first, but the longer you have that conversation, you get to the core issue, which was, I loved you.
Right. Which she used past tense, which was interesting
right.
because again, mm-hmm. you know, she says she was over him, but was she really?
Well,
I mean, let's think about it. In her mind, before she even knew who she was or anything like that, mm-hmm. he was a slime bag who basically used her, got her to fall in love with him. And then he left her to rot in jail for something he did.
Right.
That's what, and left her a car. And that's all she knows. She doesn't know any other, she didn't know any other details. Because we all know that he, the money that he left her didn't make it to her.
Right.
So, you know, she doesn't have anything else. And he's not explaining himself at this point. Of course, I don't think she's really letting him. There's not a lot of time for that. But that's all she knows. So there's a part of her that I think, you know, still she loved him even up to the point where she ended up in jail because they were going to go to Tallahassee and create a new life for themselves. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The irony is she ended up in Tallahassee after jail. 2 years in Tallahassee.
Right.
So she clearly still loved him. She wore this swan keychain around her neck. And she can say, so I can remember, you know, not to trust people.
That was not a truthful say.
That was so not true.
There's so many lies in this
because
thing.
Because she still loves him.
And I understand. And she got so mad at him. She said, tell me the truth. And it was just so interesting. You know, if you count how many times you hear true or truth, mm-hmm. and how many times you hear a lie,
oh,
it's
yeah.
just... You know, that's really, and that's why I called the first thoughts lies, lies, lies. Yeah, because, I mean, this was lying mm-hmm. the whole time.
Yes, it was.
But
well, what's interesting is she wanted him to tell her the truth, that he loved her, that it was all a misunderstanding, it was all a mistake, and he wasn't saying that. And I think that just made her sad and angry at the end anyway. And that's why she lied and said that the whole reason why she was wearing it wasn't because she still cared about him or still thought about him. It was because he was a jerk and she wanted to remember not to trust jerks. A big fat lie.
And the one other thing I wanted to say, and then we'll go on to the next one is, you know, I'm a product of divorce and, I know what that's about. And, you know, when they were talking, you know, it's just like, this relationship was doomed. You broke my heart. You left me. I served time, all this stuff. You know, was there anything that, you know, and he was saying, I think we met for a reason, for a purpose. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Certainly there had to be something good that came out of it. And she mm-hmm. lied and said, nope, just jail. That was it. But actually, it was the son.
Right.
Henry. Mm-hmm. And even from the most difficult situation, even if there wasn't a son, you learn things. And mm-hmm. you know, the pain that she was having and all this kind of stuff. I mean, she never really talked about it because she lied about who he was.
Right.
She never sat out with Mary Margaret to say, let me tell you, whatever. We'll talk about that because there's a scene really interesting. I'll read through the lines. But this scene really kind of struck a chord. It was just, what would you say to somebody if you never want to see him again and you did?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
That was that. And now the second one is this.
You two know each other. How?
You sent me chasing after him.
No, stop it. You're lying. How do you two know each other?
Mom, what's going on?
Who's this?
My son.
What?
Is that Balefire?
I need you to stay in the other room for a little while longer, okay? Come on.
Wait, how old are you?
Don't answer him.
How old are you, kid?
11! Now, why is everyone yelling?
He's 11.
Mom?
Is this my son?
No. My dad was a fireman. He died. That's what you told me. You said...
Is this... my son?
Yes. So that's him.
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me?
Because I never thought I would see him again. I never wanted to.
Why not?
He was a thief, Henry. A liar, a bad guy. And he broke my heart.
I could have taken it, you know. The truth.
I know. It was just a part of my life I wanted to forget. That's why I didn't tell you. I was thinking of me, not you.
So, the second thing is, mm-hmm. Secrets. Mm-hmm. Could be family secrets. It could be, you know, a group secret, a relationship secret, secrets. And what do you tell, in this case, a child? Do you tell them the truth? Do you lie? You know, I would imagine the question comes up with an adopted child, I would think. What right. to tell, when to tell, that's a tough
call. Do you even tell it all?
Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
And, but it really kind of, you know, look, this is a television show. But right. Henry said, I could have taken the truth. Because lying is worse because you think, well, no, it's going to hurt him. But in all that time, he could have known.
The tough part is when you do have a secret that is very difficult to share, especially something that puts you in a bad light or puts somebody else in a bad light. In this case, Emma, you know, helping out a known thief, you know, being a teenager, stealing herself. I mean, that whole,
yeah.
That paints a very bad picture for her. And I'm sure it made her feel like, I don't want my son to think I am a horrible person because that's not who I am. But being, you know, you have to weigh the pros and cons. Okay, so if I tell him, he has a really bad image of me, and there's that. If I don't tell him, maybe he'll never find out, and no harm, no foul. But the fact is almost always secrets do eventually surface. Yeah,
right.
They don't stay buried for very long. And, you know, then what happens when your kid realizes that instead of telling him the truth, you painted a different picture, a complete fabrication, because then it starts to make the kid think, what else have you lied to me about?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And it's not just the kid. I mean, it's anybody. You say that to anybody else, and it all of a sudden trust becomes a big factor.
So I ask a second question, not to you, but just to the galaxy and to the people that are listening. Have you ever been a part of a secret or a lie that has been told to you and you later found out the truth? Would you have rather known the truth ahead of time, you know? And there's a lot of lies that are told and propagated for different types of reasons.
Right, right.
But
I'm not going to go into details, but yeah, I actually have been in that situation, and knowing it any earlier than I found out wouldn't have really necessarily made any difference. And I think knowing it earlier, I would have been too young to really fully grasp it. And I think it would have colored how I felt about people or how I would have acted maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know because I'll never get that chance.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there is a point where you have to say, okay, so at what age is it okay to start telling this, you know, this child this secret?
Right.
You know, I mean, I look at, you know, since it's kind of part of the show, I mean, adoptive parents, I can imagine that may be a really difficult, you know, decision for some. Some I know tell right off the top and just say, look, you know, we wanted you.
Right. We chose you.
We chose you. Right. Most kids are born and they don't get, you know, parents don't get a choice of what child they get. Mm-hmm. We chose you. That's, you know, that's different. And I'm sure in some cases that, you know, that works out really well for some families, but others choose not to. And then what do you do when the kid finds out later?
Right.
You know, especially if you've been purposely keeping it a secret. I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's a tough call. I think you have to kind of, you know, weigh out what's going to be ultimately in the long run best for everybody involved.
And we mentioned this in First Thoughts. And I mean, that room, it was electric and weighty. There was so much that was being revealed.
Oh, yeah.
And if you kind of look at Gold, when Henry says 11, you can even hear, if you play it back, you hear him say, ah.
Yeah.
He got it. He knew
right then and there.
And he stepped back into the corner like, whoa.
Well, and here's the other interesting thing now that you mentioned that. He's the one who arranged for the adoption.
Mm-hmm.
So how did he know?
Right.
He didn't.
Well.
We don't think he did.
I don't think he did either. No.
So what's interesting is, okay, so if that's the case and he didn't know, fate? Coincidence?
Or maybe kind of somebody put a certain name on the top of the list and said, oh, who is this? No. This one.
Somebody else who's a little more in control of things.
Right. And we'll touch on that. But but yeah, that was the second one. So here is the third one.
You have no idea what I've lived with. You're so worried about you. You know what I've dealt with? Every night for more years than you could know. The last thing I see before sleep is the image of you. You and me. Over that pit. Your hand wrapped around mine. And then you open your grip. As I fall away, all I can see is your face. Choosing all this crap over me. Letting me go. Now it's my turn. I'm letting you go.
Sorry.
I don't care. I didn't get closure, so you don't either. Gotta go.
Right after that, he said, time's up. So,
go ahead.
So, you know, we've talked a lot about.
A vast virus database has been updated.
Thank goodness. Thanks, Avast. So, we talked a lot about daughters and mothers.
Right.
And the relationship. But there's something about the testosterone son and father relationship when there is a divorce and a separation and not talking for a long period of time. You know, it's interesting that Goal tried a lot of different things. You know, he said he was sorry. He said he came here just for him. Mm-hmm. He wanted to take him back to Storybrooke and use magic. It's all these different things to try and fix it. And what's interesting is when you have two men, however old they are, is you have these two men. One, you know, has said, look, I'm doing my duty wherever I am. I'm the father. One day I'm going to get back to him. One day. And when he does, the son, as we hear here, has just been replaying the separation over and over and over. That's all he's thought about.
Right.
And so there's two experiences.
Yes, there are.
So,
and what's interesting to me is that his speech to, you know, to Rumpel, excuse me, was, you know, you don't get closure, I don't either, I'm done with you, I'm letting you go. Really, do you think that was the truth? Or do you see that as being what I see, which is he's saying exactly what Emma did to him? I'm over you, which is a big fat lie.
Right.
Acting real cool and, you know, I'm done with you. But I think that there is a point because Bay loved his dad at one point in time.
Right.
He even said it. So, I mean, I don't know. I think that was just a dramatic, you know, same thing that he got from Emma. He's now pulling on Rumpel.
So Bay was in the same shoes as Emma facing that situation of which, I mean, he told Emma, he said, I've been running, hiding from this guy.
Right.
I don't want to see him at all. You know, and yet there's this, you know, Gold, Rumpel, wants to fix this, wants to be reunited, and the son wants nothing to do with them. How would he know? He wouldn't know,
right?
So, yeah, we can kind of, it's almost like two pictures on those see-through sheets. You remember he used to write on, right?
Yeah.
It's like matching two of them up. Bay was in Emma's shoes when Emma first talked to Neil, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then Bay talking to Rumpel, it was the same.
It was very similar.
It was like a shocking conversation, and he gave him 3 minutes.
The pain.
Right?
You can hear it in his voice.
Yeah.
What was interesting to me, and I just, you know, we talked about this a little earlier, is that you know, when he said all this, you gave me up for all this crap. And the way he just did a flourish with his hand was so Rumpel. But Rumpel after the Dark One, when he was, you know, being, especially reminded me so much of when he was talking to Prince Charming, when Prince Charming was looking to go get Snow after she forgot him. So interesting that even though he wants nothing to do with him, he's kind of emulating him a little bit there. That was one thing I noticed. The other thing was that Rumple, everything he did was for Rumple to make himself feel better.
Right.
Because if he really knew and understood and had listened to Bay in the first place, back when Bay was a teenager, he would have recognized Bay couldn't care less about magic. That's not what he wanted. Right, he wanted his dad. That's what he wanted.
Well, then he said, you were a good man once.
Exactly. But do you see what I'm saying? That whole thing, it's that whole thing of Rumple trying to offer up excuses, trying to offer up anything he could think of, grasping at straws to try and get Bay to want him back, was very similar to what Emma did to Henry,
right,
in that she would, you know, she said what she thought Henry would want to hear to make herself feel better. And see, I think that's what Rumple is doing. He's assuaging, trying to assuage his guilt for having chosen the, you know, magic and all that other stuff over Bay.
Let me read that. This is a section of from True North, and it's Emma and Mary Margaret talking. Ava and Nicholas in
right.
that whole
mm-hmm.
situation. Mm-hmm. So Emma says he, meaning their father, doesn't want the kids. Mary Margaret said, and you don't want to tell them. Emma says, I can't, because all I'll be telling them is that the false hope I gave them is exactly that. Mary Margaret said, the truth can be painful, Emma, but it can also be cathartic. Emma said, I agree with the painful part. Mary Margaret said, well, hey, look, you told Henry the truth that his father's dead and he's handling it great. Emma said, I didn't tell him the truth. Mary Margaret said, what? Emma said, Henry's father was no hero, and trust me, he doesn't need to know the real story. Maybe we can hide the kids. Okay, on and on and on.
Right.
So at that point, we have lines that she'd mm-hmm. made that decision. He doesn't
right.
need to know.
No, he doesn't need
the
to know.
Story.
Right.
So, you know, and what's interesting is, you know, she said, you know, you broke my heart, that kind of a thing. I've never seen her happier than when she was with him.
Right.
And that's the truth.
It's absolutely true.
You know, when she was a bounty hunter and, you know, living the dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice apartment, overlook, mm-hmm. Boston. In charge,
mm-hmm.
not happy.
No.
Just by
sad.
Herself,
sad.
Blown out a candle,
sad and lonely.
By herself
mm-hmm.
on her birthday.
Right, sad and lonely.
No call, nothing. Just, right.
Who does she have? She
right.
had no one.
Right.
And that was a sad, like you said, that's very sad. And she was very lonely, obviously. And then, you know, and then she got Henry and now she's happy again. But then she's still not really all that happy because, mm-hmm. well, the whole parents thing and the whole, hey, guess what? You're actually a princess. And by the way, you don't really come from this world. And
right.
that's kind of made her unhappy again.
Yeah. Let me play the last clip.
Trust me, I'm not going to do to him what he did to me.
And what you did to me.
Okay. I get it. Well, I'm going to stop. What do you say we try to avoid that with him? All right.
Right. So, you're my dad.
Yeah.
I'm Henry.
It's nice to meet you, Henry. I'm sorry it took so long.
It's okay. You didn't know.
So that could be, when I heard that, we're all messed up, just jumped out.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's perfect. Parents mm-hmm. aren't perfect. Mm-hmm. Nobody's perfect.
Right.
We're all messed up.
Sure.
You try the best you can. Mm-hmm. You and I both know lots of people.
Yep.
And sometimes I look at some, and everyone's going to say, me, just, it's not you. Don't worry. But it's just, sometimes you look and you go, man, their parents. I mean, wow. But you know, sometimes some parents that are messed up are better than no parents at all.
True.
And I mean, I'm certainly not saying live in an abusive home and all that. But I think that's the idea, is if you understand we're all messed up, then you can go forward. But if you think you got it all together and it's the other person's fault and all that, I mean.
Right.
So
I think it comes down to everybody's grass. The grass looks greener in everybody else's yard.
Right.
Problem is with that, that people forget that, yeah, the grass may look a little greener, but their water bill is a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it may not even be real grass, frankly. So you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt and realize, like you said, nobody's perfect. So you kind of just have to make do with, you know, what you have, make the best of what you have. And sometimes it's tough and life is not fair. Believe me, I get that.
We're all trying as best we can to hopefully be better every day, to live life as best we can. But, you know, it's funny when because he started to say, look, you can't make decisions without me anymore. I'm his father. And then, you know, she said, well, you know, you're not going to treat him bad. It's like, you know, don't hurt him. And then she goes, like, you hurt me. And continuing on that discussion. And he finally said, look, we're all messed up. Let's just not do it to him. Let's not, you know, this is my thought, is I think kids, for the most part, are kind of a reactionary life of their parents. We never want to be our parents.
No,
ever.
Does.
And so we kind of go the complete opposite. If they're very conservative, we're not. And then, you know, the kids of those parents are probably more conservative, maybe. And back and forth and back and forth. But, you know, there's something to be said about, you know, coming to grips with, you know, your parents. I have this fingernail it's got like a crease.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. I always look and I said, this is the weirdest thing. And I looked at my dad's hand and he had the same thing. And I go, that's where I got it from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's, even though we're all messed up, kind of knowing where you got stuff from, kind of go, that makes sense. Because otherwise you kind of wonder.
Right.
You know, and, you know, Emma's, you know. So anyway, but yeah, this was a pretty deep episode.
Very.
And there was a lot of really cool, well, actually kind of sad topics and things
to kind of
work through. But anyway, so those were those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go ahead and let's talk about your research, and then we'll end up with Girl Mike's email.
Great. So. Okay. So I watched it again this morning, and I wanted to see if anything else just kind of jumped out at me. And you know, a lot of things in some of the lines that were said, but one of the things that jumped out at me, and I touched on a little bit, was the index card that had the number on it that Regina pulled out of Belle's purse. Mm-hmm. I looked at it again today and I went 915.63. I knew it was Dewey Decimal System, you know, library reference. But then I was like, because it's not any of the lost numbers. You pointed out this afternoon that 9:15 is 1 hour later than 8:15, which is, of course, the time, you know,
after the curse.
So
we were used to seeing.
So that's kind of an interesting little tidbit. Coincidence? I don't know. But I looked up 9:15.63. I Googled it. Dewey Decimal System 9:15.63. What I found was typically in that particular number, you're going to find books about travel to Istanbul. I thought, okay, so let's chase this rabbit. Istanbul is referred to as the heart of Turkey.
Hmm.
Interesting. And if you go back and look at the history of Istanbul, it was originally this named Byzantium after Bizus, who was he founded the city. Byzantium became Constantinople. And then it later became Istanbul. So that's kind of the history of it right here in a nutshell. Now, Bizus was Greek. He was the son of Poseidon and Caroessa, right? He was instructed by the oracle of Apollo in Delphi. And an oracle is a prophet or a seer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To settle opposite the land of the blind. So he chose the place where the Golden Horn, which is a harbor, it's a scimitar-shaped harbor, and meets the Bosphorus Strait. Okay? Which he chose that because the folks on the other side of that were blind to the riches of the land where he settled, Istanbul. Okay? Interesting other little tidbit about Istanbul was at that time it was known for its naval headquarters of the Byzantine Empire. So it's kind of an interesting little tidbit about Istanbul, right? And then I thought, okay, well, what jumped out at me from Istanbul was Bosphorus. I thought that's kind of an unusual word. I've heard of it, you know, didn't know enough about it. It is a strait that forms the boundary between Europe and Asia, which is interesting because the city of Istanbul actually straddles that strait. So Istanbul is right over across the on both sides of the banks of the Bosphorus Strait, which dual personality, dual mm-hmm. roles, dual everything, split in half, two mm-hmm. worlds, just kind of going to go there.
Yep.
And if you look at the actual architecture, there is Asian influence as well as European influence in it. Kind of an interesting little tidbit because...
Killing, you know, the Giants
exactly.
Palace. Yeah.
The Giants yep. Palace, but mm-hmm. also the whole show in general. There's a perfect blend in a lot of cases where there's definite Asian influence, but then there's definite European influence. Most of the fairy tales are European.
Well, there's Asian history in Steveston too, by
yes.
the way.
Yes, so, yes, yes. Yep. The name Bosphorus comes from the Greek Bosporos, which means ox ford. So... it's thought to be a reference to Io. And I went, okay, great. So who's Io? Because it sounded familiar to me and I just wasn't sure. Io was a priestess of Hera. And Hera was the wife of Zeus. Io was a nymph who was seduced by Zeus. That's a nice little Dr. Seuss reference there, I think.
Right.
Sorry, just had to throw that in there. Anyway, Zeus had this little thing for Io, but he knew that Hera would be extremely jealous. And so he turned Io into a cow.
Hmm.
Sound familiar?
Hmm.
To hide her from Hera. He turned himself into a cloud and covered over to hide her from, you know, Hera's wandering eyes. However, Hera was not fooled, and she demanded the cow as, you know, some sort of gift. And of course, Zeus can't, you know, reveal his hand, so he gives her the cow. Hera hires Argus Panoptes, who is a many-eyed creature, to basically watch over her. Hermes, who is the winged god of... he was one of the little winged god people. He basically lulled this Panoptes, Argus Panoptes, into sleep, all the eyes to go to sleep. And then he let her go. He freed her. She'd been chained to an olive tree. That's where Argus Panoptes was watching her. She was forced... Hera found out she escaped, basically got held and escaped. So she was wandering the earth being tormented by a gadfly that stings her into madness. Anything else kind of sounded familiar a little bit there? There's more.
Well, okay. So the madness part.
Yes.
Just what's the can I got the cow.
Belle. Belle was being, you know, kept a prisoner in the basement. She was...
okay, all right, season one. Got
I'm
it,
just
got
saying
it.
The whole madness thing. And the fact that she doesn't remember who she is
okay,
is a sort of
got it,
madness.
Got it.
So right. I was just kind of... I'm just reminds me. I'm not saying that's what it is.
Right,
I'm just
right.
saying it reminds me of it. So she crosses through the land and ends up in Istanbul, where she meets Prometheus. So when I said to myself, I know Prometheus. Prometheus is familiar, but I don't know enough about Prometheus, so I had to look that up as well. Now, here's a description of Prometheus, a titan, a trickster figure who is credited with creating man from clay and theft of fire for human use. So he stole fire and created people from clay. And he was a trickster. Sound like anybody we know? Reminds me a little bit. Not saying he is, but reminds me a little bit of Rumpel.
Right.
Okay. So, but if you look at Prometheus in Western classical tradition, he represents human striving, particularly the quest for scientific knowledge and the risk of overreaching or unintended consequences, which, again, reminds me a little bit of Rumpel, but also sounds a little bit, because that whole scientific knowledge thing, sound like anybody else you know? That would be Dr. Whale.
Right.
Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because Mary Shelley, who wrote Frankenstein, gave her book, her novel, Frankenstein, The Modern Prometheus. Mm. That was a subtitle. So it was an interesting kind of, rabbit trails.
Yep.
But I really think that there are no coincidences, and I think that was real interesting that they pulled that information out of it.
Well, that's the one thing about Lost is they threw in all these literary references? Little things here and there. And yep. So, you know, Sawyer read a lot of books all the time, and so you're always looking, what's he reading now? Watership Down, oh.
Right, yeah. And there was reasons why. In fact, you know, the comic books that Hurley was reading were important, and the names of the characters were important, figures from scientific research and
John
what have
Locke
you.
Locke and all that.
Locke, yep. Faraday, Daniel Faraday, I mean, huge. Yep. So I think that there is definite, you know, these writers are crazy gifted and do a boatload of research, and they come up with some interesting things that they can just pull out of the hat and tie it all together. So again, what I take from all this is that there's a lot of Greek mythology in this. It seems to me that there's an awful lot of Greek mythology. And the fact that you have the split between, you know, again, two worlds, two very different worlds, Europe, Asia, but then also, you know, fairy tale world, Storybrooke. You have
realms.
Yeah. Realms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, empires and what have you. So if you figure, you know, that this is potentially part of the story.
And you're not fitting particularly this person is this person.
No.
But as you're reading through, you can hear, you know, I would imagine that researchers said, hey, let's throw in cow. It sounds crazy, but let's throw in cow because of Prometheus. Oh, wow. Yeah, what was Prometheus? It was da-da-da-da-da.
Well, and again, it comes back to, I mean, Rumpel has dealt with fire a number of times. He burned down the Duke's palace in order to get the
fire.
Dagger. He held fire, a fireball in his hand. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's that. And then you know, even that whole, you know, overreaching and unintended consequences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his striving, his quest to find Bay could end up with completely unintended consequences. You know, Wayne mentioned it before in his voicemail that, you know, the look on Rumpel's face when he looked at Henry after we saw the flashback to the seer explaining that a boy would be his undoing.
Right.
You know, and that he'd have, and then he said, I'll have to kill him. Again, it would, you know, logically follow that he thinks Henry's the boy. I still think it's August, but
I think that Henry being injured or almost killed is going to be in the cliffhanger.
Oh,
because it was before.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I think it will be.
That's
again.
True. That's true. And then we'll have to see who has to help who to. I mean, you know, joining forces and who's going to, you know, align themselves with who to save Henry.
Right. All right. Excellent. Excellent. Thanks.
Thanks. I like doing that. I like chasing rabbits down holes. Sometimes you read some real interesting. That's how I end up with like crazy weird facts in my head that I don't know why I have in there.
Yep. All righty. We have an email from Girl Mike. It says some very nice things about discovering TV fan groups. And that is cool because there's a lot of cool ones out there. Including Oncers.
Yes.
So the bulk of the email here really comes to this question. Is August Henry grown up? They came back and forward through portals or in time to help resolve things. So the first thing that you would need to kind of, to me, come to grips with is how could they be in the same place at the same time? Now, we've seen in Doctor Who, newer version, could be an older version.
Right.
So it is writing, you can do anything.
Sure, sure.
But
I think that based on everything we've seen, I don't see how they could kind of get around what they've shown us. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Based on everything we've seen, there's no possible way he could be, because he's a very separate person.
Right.
And not even that whole, like, seeing them together in the same place, talking to each other, withstanding. That can be explained if you're talking about time travel and what have you. But I think it's more important that it's the you know, down to the whole, August is Pinocchio.
Right.
Henry is not Pinocchio.
I know.
But that's, again, based on what we're seeing, and I'm not saying the writers could do anything.
I haven't read all the points, but see,
that's
this
what I'm
is
saying.
Why this is why I married you, because you are the facts that you can see on paper.
Right.
That's you.
Right.
Okay.
So are there points that Girl Mike is trying to make that will support that theory?
Well, let me kind of walk through them.
Okay.
Because I have a feeling that you may see things differently, but let me read them through.
Okay.
Okay.
Please do.
So August knew everyone, probably wrote the book. So August knew that Neil was Balefire. So the question is, how did he know?
How did he know? Correct. But here's my question about that. And I'm going to play the devil's advocate side of this thing. So there is a popular school of thought that August did indeed write the book.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's the case, my question would be, well, then why did he leave Rumpel out of the book? Rumpel's not in the book.
Okay.
Why did he leave it out of the book? What happened to all the other stuff that was in the book that we saw when they flipped through pages that we haven't seen, like the winged monkeys from, Oz and that sort of thing? Mm-hmm. When are we going to see that stuff?
Yep.
And why is that even in there if the whole point is that, you know, it's all about Snow and mm-hmm. the Evil Queen?
Mm-hmm.
So why was that added? Another thing would be, August was adding to the book, right?
Right, right.
But does that mean he wrote it? I mean, it's possible. We just don't know yet.
We know for a fact that he took the book and had pages that matched pretty much exactly, obviously. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Henry could have said, hey, these pages are different. He knew that there was something else added to it.
Right.
So he added to the book.
It does lead us to believe. It leads us to believe that August wrote the book.
Okay. So Let me continue. August knew Henry knew about the book. Okay. So maybe someone kind of informed. Well, okay. So,
here's what I'm saying. In reference to that, if in fact August wrote the book, and even if he didn't and he knew who did, August, I think, is the one who sent the book to Mary Margaret so that she would give it to Henry.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Okay. Okay. So, let's see. Number three. Young Henry understood the book was real.
Children typically believe stuff easier. They believe the fantastical to be more real
mm-hmm.
because they haven't had life experiences jade them.
Right. August seemed to treat Henry with fondness and understanding. So, well, I mean, yes, true.
True. Okay, so here's the next thing. Do you think then if that's the case, based on what we saw in Manhattan, do you think it's possible that because August has been watching Emma, he knew where she was, he knew she was in jail, he sent her the information, you think he didn't know that she was having a baby? You think he didn't know that Henry was her son? And maybe he's the one who made the arrangement to get him adopted in there so that somehow that would get
That's
Emma to Storybrooke.
That's a good point.
So, I think that he is, because he's guarding Emma, whose job was to guard Emma and protect her and make sure she believed, what better way to do that than to get her son to go grow up in Storybrooke?
So, I totally have heard what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I will give credence to what Girl Mike is saying, is that I think August has a lot to do with kind of keeping the ball in play.
Sure,
kind
absolutely.
Of making sure that all absolutely. These people and all these things get in the right place.
Absolutely.
And move forward.
Because he's been able to from outside. He's had to because
clearly
there were things that, you know, he knew that if he was on the outside and Emma's on the outside, they had to get in somehow.
So in effect, he was still really fixing the mistake that he caused by leaving.
Right, by
Emma.
Leaving her in the in the foster home. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know, that part definitely I think we can go with is that August did have a lot to do. And I think a prediction here is August did, in fact, assist in making sure that Henry was adopted mm-hmm. by Regina.
Yep.
In the office somehow, the name got there.
Sure.
That's how it happened.
Sure.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah,
so.
I'd be willing to bet because we were talking about that earlier, and that just actually sparked something for me.
Yep.
So good points.
Yeah,
but they're sparking other discussions for me anyway.
Okay, so scene in the diner where August and Henry shared a moment talking about the book, drinking cocoa. There was a scene that showed them from behind and gave me this idea because they seemed similar. And yeah, they seemed to have kind of a camaraderie and. They were both,
I was thinking the reference was more to similar coloring, similar features.
Oh.
I mean, physically speaking, they look like they could be related of sorts.
But also it was nice because August really came, and that's what he said, to help Emma believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at Henry and go, "You already believe.
Right.
So I'm not here for you."
Right.
So, I mean, there was this kind of belief that they both shared. So,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, there are similarities, I think.
Sure.
With
definitely.
August and Henry. And
definitely.
Because at first there was this kind of, who are you and why are you talking to me? And I don't know, you're a stranger and all
sure.
this.
Sure, sure.
So maybe August's response to Emma was not romantic, but as a son who is with his mother but can't tell. You know, if that is the case, look, we didn't think Frankenstein was going to be a part of this story. So, I mean, I'm trying to kind of...
True, true.
Talk through this in this larger sense.
And again, after the whole episode where we saw Pinocchio's backstory and the whole thing with him and Emma and how that came to play, it, to me... actually changed from a romantic interest to brother-sister. It never felt romantic completely to me from the beginning anyway because there was just a spark that was missing.
The savior of the savior.
Right. The savior's guardian.
Yeah.
So I didn't see a motherly son, a son kind of a thing. It was more brother-sister than anything else.
Yeah. Okay. All right. August messed up the first time around and became wooden. Was he allowed to go back and make up for stuff? Possibly.
Yeah, we don't know what happened to August. We don't know where he is right now. We have no clue what's going on with him. And I really wish they would reveal that because I'm really getting kind of tired of not knowing where August is.
I think, even though it's a different show, that, Once Upon a Time is a lot like Lost in that there are opportunities to kind of fix things
sure.
or do them better. Or
no question.
You can't turn back time and fix it, but you can become a better person. I mean, Regina is a great example of that. A goal to a certain degree is that. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Yep. And August followed Emma. New Neil and how to find both.
And for all we know, maybe he's the one who orchestrated Neil and Emma being together.
Hmm.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We just don't know.
Yeah. But I think the strongest...
Because he wasn't surprised.
Right.
If you think about it, he wasn't surprised that Balefire was with Emma.
Yep, you know, and we kind of discussed, you know, is August a grown-up Henry or kind of vice, or are they the same? But the more I'm talking through it, I think August really had a lot of things going on in the background to kind of kick, because he did it in Storybrooke.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he'd walk up to Emma and say, look, man, you have to take a leap of faith. Look, you need to look at things differently. You're going off in the wrong direction. You need to take a look at this and get them back in line. Mm-hmm. And when he was in over his head, that's when he went to Gold and he goes, you're going to have to do something now.
Right.
You know, and then when that, yeah, so I think August is more important the more I read this. So, wow, very good. Let's continue. Rumpel offered to send Bay back to age 14 so that can be done. Maybe he helped August do the same thing because it was needed to make things right. So,
That would be tough to kind of, I can't explain how that would even work.
Well, that's Rumpelstiltskin mentioned turning back the clock, and that was the first time I've ever heard that. I mean, you didn't think it could happen.
Right, because there's so many other limitations. Well, you can't do this, can't do that. Oh, but I can do this instead. You know, you wouldn't think that would be a possibility. But, I mean, I guess if you think about it, having the fact that clock and time essentially stopped for these folks for 28 years.
Yeah. Good point.
I mean, if you think about it.
Good point. Pinocchio became a real boy. Mm-hmm. So I think he's trying to connect, you know, a real boy.
Right, right, Henry. Right.
And Pinocchio is the other for Henry, which is what you said. Well,
Pinocchio's the other for Henry. I'm not sure. That's not ringing any bells with me for some reason.
Okay. So, she okay? Huh. Hang in there.
She wants FOOD, I'm sure.
Yep, yep. All right, so...
sorry, we have to spell.
Great point. Yeah, the Dardog can spell. She's a genius.
No, she can't spell. That's the whole point. She's not learned how to spell. She knows words.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, great points. I think that, you know, hey, look, I'm open to whatever the writers do, but those are our two cents for what they're worth. But thanks for sending it in for sure.
Yeah, very good.
And I think we may have stumbled on a lot of great predictions.
Exactly.
Too.
That's the point. Yeah. Because even if you know, some of the questions were maybe not what we would see, they do spawn and spark other ones that actually are very viable. So that's always great because, you know, we were just talking about some of this stuff, and now we think we might have some new theories. It'll be really, really good theories if they pan out.
So everyone, please mention our podcast if you want to share these predictions, especially if they come true.
I know. Hopefully you heard it here
anyway,
first.
Anyway, heard it here first.
That's, well, yeah. I'm assuming you've heard it here first because I don't know.
Yeah, I our poor dog is hungry. All right. So this is the last email. Holly in Wisconsin says, hey, Jeff and Colleen, Tiny was a great episode. Hopefully we'll get to see more of Anton in the future now that he's becoming a member of Team 7, or that should be renamed to Team Ocho. And that's true. Manhattan was quite a roller coaster of emotions, and that is the truth. The look on Rumpel's face when he started to put two and two together about Neil and Emma. Sorry, Neil.
Neil and Emma?
Yeah. Colleen. Wow. Colleen, I agree with your theory that the boy in the seer's vision is August, Pinocchio, and not Henry. Just from the look on Gold's face as he watched Neil and Henry together, I think he would do anything so he wouldn't have to hurt Henry. The scene in Storybrooke with Charming trying to figure out his family tree was interesting. And I thought out too hard, it could be headache inducing as well. If Thanksgiving were ever be held, may I suggest paper plates, cups, and plastic utensils, and a strict no magic policy? You want to?
No, baby.
Okay.
It's all right. Keep going.
All right. So I'm. I'm really hoping that map. You want to go feed the dog?
I need to go let her out. I think. I'll be right back.
All right. I will continue. All right. I'm really hoping that the map that Hook, Cord, and Regina found in the library is a red herring. I never thought of that. That could be. because it just seemed so obvious that it was there out in the open. So I hope so, too. I can buy that Rumpel might have a fake dagger floating around for just the occasion. It's kind of like a immunity idol in Survivor. You know, he has like four or five different ones. The further backstory on Rumpel was heartbreaking. He's trying to do right by his family. Then when he makes the sacrifice and injures himself to come back home so that his son would have a father, I really felt for him. And true, you know, I mean, at what lengths just to get home to be a father, you know, man. Emila didn't want him to go in the first place. I, for one, am not calling Rumpel a coward. That took some guts to do what he did to himself. I'm really hoping that Neil, Rumpel, and Emma can all try to work things out and get along for Henry's sake. Looking forward to the next episode in 2 weeks' time. Big love to everyone. Holly from Wisconsin. Thanks, Holly. And it's interesting how Henry was kind of okay, and you know, all of a sudden now there's all these different layers. And so, you know, I'm just thinking about all the different edges of things. You've got Regina and Emma as Henry's moms. And then you've got now Neil, who more than likely is going to end up in Storybrooke. So, I mean, that's just kind of an, and you've got all this drama and all this tension in town. So thank you so very much for all your voicemails and emails, and thanks for letting us kind of talk through some of the scenes that that stood out to us when we watched the episode. And that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yep.
I want to send big love out to everybody. Thank you for listening however you listen. And just remember, we're on iTunes if you want to subscribe. And come and check out the website. Follow us on Twitter and yada, yada, all that. And we will be at the Paley Fest event next weekend, next Sunday.
Yes.
So we're still trying to kind of work out how First Thoughts will be recorded. We may do it on the road. I don't know. We'll see how it all works out.
Yeah.
So thanks again, everyone, for everything, and we will talk at you soon.
Sounds good.
See you guys.
Bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast, and if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.